Detroit Smash! This is Deku, and you're listening to the Tangles Cast!
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 48 of the Tangle Cast, the official podcast for Beneath the Tangles. We're Team FTK, one of the three podcast teams. I'm not sure where you're tuning in from, but we'd appreciate it so much if you could subscribe to us on iTunes and write a review and comment. We love to hear how we're doing from you guys directly. Well, my name is David. I'm going to be your host for today. And I'm with my castmates, Peter.
Hello.
And Holly as well.
Hi, everyone.
Alrighty, well, every time the TangleCast airs, we always ask a cast question that we as a cast answer, and then we open up for our listeners to submit their answers as well. Last time we asked, what was one anime that was surprisingly better than you expected? We had over 30 responses on various platforms, and we just want to share with you a few of them.
Yeah, we had a lot. This is a couple from Instagram. Had one from at Pocket Size Cosplay. They said Psyche K, which is one that I really enjoyed, which was surprising. We had one from Tired Magician. Said Princess Tutu at Kokorodaki, Children of the Whales. He said I'd never heard of it before, but it didn't look that good at first, but I quite liked it. I've been thinking about also looking at that on Netflix. At Jorgum Kukulon. Sorry if I pronounced that wrong. Devilman Crybaby. Same here. And one from Twitter from Khaki Blue Socks. Assassination Classroom, hands down. They said, I mean, I already knew that this show was pretty good and I knew about the hype, but only when I sat down and watched it episode by episode did I realize just how prodigious this anime is. Nice use of big words.
What was Kukulon? Come on. Here, watch me pronounce it, okay? So the first one up is Ajin Demihuman and Redcar Tenkin from our Instagram said he liked that, or he or she liked that one. And we have, I grouped it up into that time I got reincarnated as Ace Slime or the Rising of the Shield Hero. And our people from Facebook, Kyle and Cassandra really liked that. Instagram, Celtic Nerd. And from our blog, Tyler Burnett and his wife, who enjoyed our previous Shield Hero episode, said, I really thought I wouldn't like Vatican Miracle Examiners as much as I did. I figured it might be some kind of slice of life anime or something off the wall with minimal ties to Christianity like Brute Exorcist. But in reality, it was actually pretty sound on theology. He really liked the characters. They were very ardent and pious and pretty clever detectives.
Well, for me, I got My Hero Academia from at RecondGS and CraftyFox39 from our Instagram. Pretty good one, I agree. SAO Season 3 from our Instagram, at ArgoODM. Also, pretty legit. Naoki Urasawa's Monster, and that's Kenneth from Facebook. He said, it was so overhyped that I thought it wouldn't live up. Boy, howdy, did it surpass the hype, lol. Man, I'm on episode 6 right now. I think that's what it's going to be like for me too. I'm not sure. But yeah, I probably will agree with you, man. The last one is Star Defender 29 from our blog. He says, Invaders of the Rokujumai. He says this, it started out as a silly harem show that I figured would be a little more than meaningless hijinks, but it then became a really heartfelt story about how these people that started off as enemies came to care about and support each other. It went from, I guess I can waste some time with this, to this anime is healing my soul, especially from episode 5 onwards. And that's not even getting into the really good stuff in the original light novels that the anime didn't reach. Thankfully, J Novel Club licensed the light novels and has even made several volumes, currently up to volume 19, completely free to read on their site. I've never heard of it, but it's harem. I probably wouldn't watch it. But if anybody out there has ever watched it before, let us know and tell us what you think. Well, that's enough time for our old cast question. We want to move on to our new one. And the new cast question is this. If you had to delete all but three apps from your smartphone, which ones would you keep? You still have the default phone calling and text messaging apps.
All right, so I guess you already took two of mine because I would keep the phone calling and the text messaging app, so don't got to worry about that. For me, I'm a big Reddit guy, so I use the Apollo Reddit app. That's just a quick shout out to that dev there.
What's different about the Apollo one compared to the regular Reddit app?
To me, it just has better UI and user experience, and the guy who made it actually made the whole thing by himself, and he updates it a lot and really, you know, responds to the feedback of the people who use the app. And so that's why I just support the dev and bought the pro version of that.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I also would have to have Facebook Messenger because that's actually where I message a lot of people. Like, I don't text all my friends all the time. Usually we just use like Facebook Messenger, and there are usually people that, you know, it's easier when you just kind of know someone, you have them on Facebook, and then you just want to talk to them and find them on Facebook Messenger instead of actually having their phone number. And the last one would be Google Maps, because I don't think I'd be able to survive trying to find a new place and using MapQuest again.
No, I agree with you on the Google Maps. I think for me, Google Maps is definitely one of them too. The other one for me would be my camera app. I started doing Instagram and taking a lot of pictures for working out and tracking my progress. That's really done best having a camera at the gym. So I would have Google Maps, I would have the camera app, and I would also have Audible. I recently started to listen to a lot of audiobooks online. Right now I'm going through the Game of Thrones series. I'm almost done with book 4 and I'm about to start book 5. And it's been great for when you're driving on the road. It helps take your mind off of the drive itself and you can just kind of get lost in the story. And it's been really nice for me. So that would be the three for me: camera, Google Maps, and Audible.
You know, I also really like to listen to stuff while I drive as well. Do you guys know Markiplier and Jacksepticeye by chance from YouTube?
No, I've never heard of them.
Do you guys like to watch Let's Plays by chance, like games and stuff?
Not really. Okay. I'm sorry.
So Markiplier, he did one on Resident Evil, the new game that came out. So it's like 2 hours long and I just turn that on and I just drive. But definitely the first app would be YouTube, because I can listen to him and listen to music or search up how-to videos. And then my second app, I do completely agree with you guys. I need the Google Maps, because even if it's like 5 minutes away, I need to turn that on. And then my third one would be LexiComp. It's a pharmacy database for any questions that I might get. You know, I can't just fit every information that I learned from school. So definitely those three are what I would keep.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how we have that similarity of Google Maps. We all need that. Can you imagine having to drive just how we used to do a while back, where you have to print out the map, or you have to use a huge city map that you have to unfold and actually look up the roads? Oh, that would be so tough.
Yeah,
I have
then
an
you
uncle.
Can't...
Oh, sorry.
No, you can go ahead.
I have an uncle that when he goes to one place, he remembers how to get there, even if it's like 5 years later.
Oh, wow. That's a special skill.
Just people who have really good memory. But sorry, I cut you off, Peter.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was saying, like, we don't even, like, even know, like, how long it takes to get to places, too. And Google Maps does that for us. So even if we look up the directions before, we're like, oh, shoot, like, how long does it take to get there? And then if the traffic's different from the time that we, like, looked it up, you know, then we might get there late.
Oh, yeah, you get that yellow and you get the red numbers and you're like, oh, man, please. It's also cool that each one of us has something special from the others as well. Peter, I think it's really the Apollo Reddit app, right? For me, it's Audible. And for Holly, it's the LexiComp. It all has to do with our interest and what we spend a lot of time in our life doing. So it's really cool that we're keeping one thing of that, one thing that's similar, and then one kind of a neutral thing that we all would agree that we use together. Well, for all those listening, let us know your answers. We really want to know what you would keep on your cell phone. And maybe that says something about you, or maybe we can learn something new about you when you give us those answers. Let's move on to a new segment for the podcast. And this segment is called Guess the Anime.
Guess the Anime. So I know last time we did anime or animeta, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys like it?
It was pretty good.
Really fun.
That's good. So hopefully this one is pretty good as well. I'm hoping that it would be. But Guess the Anime is basically, I have about 6 anime, manga, or film. And I have these clues that I'll give you guys. They can be normal clues or something different. I can add like a voice touch to it. If you guys need a hint, I guess I'll help you guys out. And I do encourage everyone out there listening to us to try answering on your own as well. Okay. Ready?
Let's do this. Everybody listening, you can somehow try to help us.
Okay. First one. That doesn't make me happy, you jerk.
That sounds so generic.
That doesn't make me happy, you jerk.
Is that how they say it?
No, I'm trying to confuse you guys. But if you guys need a hint, I can add the touch, the voice touch, you know? Do, 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 do,
do. I have no idea.
Yeah, give a hint.
A hint, yes.
Okay, this is the voice a little bit, okay? That doesn't make me happy, you jerk.
Oh, I know. Oh, this is a tsundere. Oh, I know who it is. Answer.
Okay.
Yes, what is Chopper from One Piece?
That's correct.
Oh my goodness.
Good job.
That is crazy, man. How did you get that?
That doesn't make me happy, you jerk. Okay.
I guess I didn't watch One Piece, so there's no way I would get that one.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, that is true. Alrighty, maybe the second one you'll know. Ready? Sometimes I do feel like I'm a failure, like there's no hope for me. But even so, I'm not going to give up. Ever.
I'm going to guess.
Okay.
Is it Naruto?
No.
Oh, man. It sounds like it has to be a shonen one, though.
Okay, some highlights are, I feel like I'm a failure. There's no hope for me. But I'm not going to give up ever.
Failure, no hope. What's an anime that has failure and no hope as part of it?
Another hint is...
I need another hint. I don't know.
Okay. This is a big hint, but superhero...
Answer.
Yeah.
What is My Hero Academia?
Yes, sir.
Cha-ching.
Why are you so silent, Peter?
Yeah, what's up, Peter?
I don't know. Who said that?
Deku?
Is it Deku?
Yeah.
Dang. Feels bad, man.
Okay,
it had to be a shonen, so I'm glad that I got that part right.
Hopefully this one's easier. Living should mean no do-overs. No do-overs. No
answer.
Do-overs.
Oh, man.
Yes, David?
I hope I get the right one, though. What is Steins Gate? Zero.
That's pretty good.
Is it zero?
Yeah.
Okay,
so it's 2-1 for now. 2 for David, 1 for
I was going to guess Steins Gate or ReZero.
Oh, ReZero.
Oh, yeah. That. I have Okay, fourth one. Water, 35 liters. Carbon, 20 kilos.
What?
Ammonia.
Answer.
What? David.
What is Full Metal Alchemist?
Yeah.
It's in both of them.
Oh, is it?
I'm pretty sure it's in both of them, that formula. Hey, man.
Wow. That's the total chemical makeup of the average adult body. All right.
I would probably have said Brotherhood, because that's probably what she was the one referring to.
Actually, I don't know where I pulled this one from.
Okay, okay. Okay, yeah, I think it's in both. I think it's in both.
I don't know. The fifth one, though, ready? This one's a voice, okay?
Okay, I got it. Answer, Goku, Dragon Ball Z.
No, it's wrong.
It's not Goku.
How's it not Goku?
It's not Goku.
I don't want to yell into the mic and blow out everyone's eardrums, but pretend I'm yelling.
It's going to be a lot of things.
So it's a person yelling in an anime. That's our
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you said this one is one that we should be able to get.
Yeah. It's one
Ichigo.
Of the newer ones. It's one of the newer ones.
One of the newer ones.
Yeah.
Answer.
Yes.
Kaguya-sama.
What? Should I give you guys the answer on this one?
No, I need a hint.
I need a hint.
A hint? Okay. He has a spell book. He has this like gurgling yell. He has a gurgling yell. It's like so annoying that a lot of people drop the anime because of this shouting. Constant shouting every episode.
He has a spell book.
Black Clover.
Shouts.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Good guess, Peter.
Wow.
I only know that because of Gigook, the YouTube anime guy.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some of his stuff before.
Last one?
Last
so
one?
What's the score?
The score is 3-2. If I get it right, there needs to be a tiebreaker.
That's okay. True.
Last one. Play with me or I'll break your arm.
Oh. It sounds like Annie from League of Legends.
I watched this anime, I'm pretty sure.
Remember, I said here's the hint. It can be a film as well.
Play with me or I'll break your arm.
I have another line from that too. If you want. If you guys want.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Peter, what about you? You want the next clue?
Yeah, I'll take the next clue.
A human, you're in trouble. You're the one everyone's been looking for.
So being a human in this society is off.
It's a film.
It's a film.
It's a movie.
I think the only films I've watched are like slice of life films, like for anime.
Movie.
I watch Final Fantasy Advent Children. I don't think that's it. I don't know this one.
Can you just... There's another hint.
It's a Miyazaki film.
Play with Spirited Me. Away.
Yes.
It's the baby.
Nice.
The witch's baby.
Oh my
baby.
Goodness.
Play with me or I'll break your arm.
Man, so we're tied?
Oh, well, 3-3? I guess... I don't have a tiebreaker, though.
Well, it looks like it's time for the next segment.
All right. So for this week, we'll end with a draw. Because that's okay. That basically means everyone wins.
You can't win in a war, though.
Everyone
or you can't
loses.
Tie in a war. Sorry.
It's a draw. That was pretty interesting. That was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be for some of those anime.
I didn't think that you guys would struggle there, to be honest. Sorry for making it kind of hard. Was it hard?
I think generally it wasn't too bad, but there are just some that there's no way, you know, that we could get. If you haven't watched it or if you're not familiar with it, except somehow Peter got Black Clover, so that's crazy.
It's only because she said, like, some people drop the show. Like, when you think of someone yelling to power up or attacking, it's just Dragon Ball Z.
That's true. Or Bleach, maybe. Okay, so we want to go to our main segment. As you guys know, Valentine's Day has just passed us by. So we thought it would be appropriate to cover a high school rom-com. It's called Kaguya-sama. Love is War. I'm going to give the plot synopsis right now. Considered a genius due to having the highest grades in the country, Miyuki Shirogane leads the prestigious Shuchien Academy Student Council as its president, working alongside the beautiful and wealthy Vice President Kaguya Shinomiya. The two are often regarded as the perfect couple by students, despite them not being in any sort of romantic relationship. However, the truth is that after spending so much time together, the two have developed feelings for one another. Unfortunately, neither is willing to confess, as doing so would be a sign of weakness. With their pride as elite students on the line, Miyuki and Kaguya embark on a quest to do whatever is necessary to get a confession out of the other. Through their daily antics, the battle of love begins. Guys, what were your expectations before we started watching this anime?
I actually didn't have any expectations. It wasn't actually on my watch list. I guess from a couple episodes ago, when we were talking about, you know, the shows that we wanted to watch this year, I didn't put it on there. I just kind of went in without knowing what to expect. And I go on the anime Reddit a lot. So I saw the episode threads, and they were getting a lot of gold or silver, if you know what that is, for the first two episodes. And once I saw that, I was like, well, I should probably go ahead and watch this because it's like a slice of life.
Man, for me, I just honestly, I thought it looked terrible because it's definitely something that I would not watch.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a slice of life, right?
Yeah, I just thought, man, what could I possibly get from this anime? How am I going to enjoy my time here? But I did go in with the hope that they might do something interesting with it, and maybe somehow, some way, the show would be redeemed for me. Or I guess not redeemed, but it would become interesting for me.
You know, though, after the first episode, I didn't think it was too terrible. I also didn't have any expectations, and I thought it was just good for the upcoming Valentine's Day, you know? Plus, like, Peter's a slice of life anime king, so, you know, we might as well do a lighthearted anime time to time. And so I thought it was just a good one to start out as well.
Yeah, I guess we don't really tackle the slice of life genre. We've never done that on our podcast before. So yeah, I think it's a great idea to kind of do something new.
So when I looked at the cover art, though, it looked pretty good. It kind of looked scary, like the stuff that I would watch or David will watch too. But that first episode, it made me feel young, like too young, back to the days of like Yu-Gi-Oh and like Pokemon type of young. You know, those days when you couldn't really like express your lovey-dovey feelings for someone. That's what I felt. How about you guys?
Man, honestly, that's my drawback to slice of life anime and just kind of anime in general, I guess, that's made for a certain audience. I just don't like high school main characters. I don't like middle school main characters especially, but I think this takes place in high school. And I don't like high school characters. I just don't connect with them. And I can't really remember that well what I felt in high school and what they must be feeling. It's almost like watching my youth kids at church going through their lives and talking about their problems. And I'm over here like, it's not a big deal. Just don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. If you like them, just let them know. It's going to be fine.
Is that why you dropped Boku no Hero in the beginning? Because it was based on high school.
For Boku no Hero, there is that. But also because for that one, it's a shonen. And a very typical shonen. And I thought that would make it kind of boring. But, you know, that one ended up being good. So maybe with this one, too, it might be good. For me, honestly, the beginning of this show, I just thought, as I was watching, what the heck is going on right now? Basically, cue the Jackie Chan meme face, right? I was like, what is this plot? What are these characters? What's with this announcer? What is this? Who's going to win and who's going to lose and the battle of love? I don't know. I was very turned off by the first couple of episodes, but we're on episode 5 right now. It's gotten better. I guess when this podcast comes out, we might actually be on episode 6. And so maybe by then it'll be even better, but it is slowly redeeming itself for me. So my very first impression of the show, not good. 5 episodes in, it is a little bit better. So I will continue to watch it just to see what happens.
Yeah, it's got an 8.1 on my anime list, right, David? And you said you'd watch stuff that's over an 8.
Yes, I always get stuff over an 8 a try, so.
Wait, that's really high, 8.1?
Yeah, so far that's what it has. So it's a pretty good one. Going off of what David said, I also thought it was kind of weird in the first couple episodes, like the announcer in the beginning and that whole bit with, you know, the guy and the girl. There has to be a loser. Like, one person will dominate in the relationship. It's not always like lovey-dovey, equal, whatever. And I know that's part of like the story, but it was kind of like, this is kind of weird. And I think that bit happens in the first 3 episodes. And so I didn't really, you know what was going on. And that kind of did turn me off in the first episode too. But now I'm enjoying it a lot more since I do like Slice of Life. All the bits kind of remind me of Psyche, the anime, and how there's like little episodes in each episode. And in the most recent ones, they've been pretty fun. And I think the voice actors have been doing a good job in like showing their reactions. I think the reactions are super funny because it's like when they're like, Nani?
Yeah, and they do have those kind of freeze scenes, right? Where it freezes on them and then...
Yeah, it's like when really something quickly. Unexpected happens and then their face, you know, like changes and it's like super drawn, like crude. And it's like really funny when it's like that. And, you know, I think the whole way they did it in this, the comedy aspect is pretty good. You know, it's a lot about misunderstandings in their romantic relationship. And unlike the show Gamers, I think it's Gamers. If you guys have you guys ever heard of that or seen it?
No,
I haven't either.
So it's pretty much an anime about like this guy who's really into games. And then there's like a video game club. And then he like joins the club or whatever. And a lot of the plot is about misunderstandings. But it's really bad because that's the only way the plot progresses. So they're like forced to use that. And it's very like forced upon the story. Like
this one is misunderstanding much more natural.
Yeah, it's not natural. It's like this misunderstanding has to happen. It's very cliche. And this is only to move it toward the end of the series, right? But this one does a lot better since it's, you know, broken up into little episodes. And it's not necessarily very linear. And yeah, so I think it's really good right now. I'd really enjoy the comedy in the last 2 episodes. And I hope you guys will start enjoying it soon too.
You guys were bashing on the announcer. I actually liked him. You guys didn't like him at all. Sounded like a sales pitch, like he's trying to sell me this anime and I'm being like sold.
Oh yeah, I never thought of it that way, but if you think of him as a salesman, that's definitely a feeling that I got too.
I've seen a lot of anime with openings like that. That's more of, I guess, like in, I feel like the romantic comedy animes have this kind of thing a lot. I don't think I've ever really like liked it in the beginning because it's just kind of like an intro that they always do and they like throw away after the first couple episodes.
Mm. Well, this series is really about relationships mainly, right? And there's a lot of scenes where there is miscommunication and there are these kind of disagreements that come up or scenes where a main character gets hurt or they get jealous or whatever might happen. And so I think the show does a good job about portraying what it's really like to be in a high school environment trying to be in a relationship. One of the funny things that happens is that there's advice giving between the president and a guy that kind of walks in and he says, "Hey, president, I know that you're really popular with the ladies. Can you please, please help me out?" Do you guys remember what happened in that scene?
All I remember is the hand slapping against the wall. I think as a girl, I would say like everyone feels like, oh, like, what is this feeling type of feeling? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you're a guy, so you wouldn't know.
Yeah, I don't know if I know if like some girl did that to me. I'd be like, what is going on?
That would be awkward if a girl went up and did that to me. I don't know, really? What I would feel. Yeah.
Wouldn't you feel like, oh, what is this girl?
But I feel like if it was like, if it's like a friend,
I think it'd be more like, who is this person?
That's true. And if it's like a friend, I would feel like I'm getting trolled.
Okay. Yeah, I all I can remember is that scene from them.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, yeah. There's this quote that happens, and it goes something like this. Anyways, nothing good will happen unless you tell her how you feel. And nothing good can come of carrying out some weird scheme. Now, isn't that an interesting advice given to that guy?
Very hypocritical.
Very hypocritical.
Yeah, because all, like, the entire show is the main character, Shinomiya, the guy, coming up with schemes, and same with the girl. And all they're doing is, like, scheming against each other. And then he's pretty much doing, like, do as I say and not as I do.
As guys, have you guys given advice before to your friends?
I've given advice to my friends before. I think I've given some good advice to my friends before.
I think one of those friends was me, probably.
I'm pretty sure you were one of those friends that I gave advice to.
Yeah, but, you know, who knows if the advice was good or not.
Would you say you were slightly hypocritical, or were you also playing out that kind of life, the same advice that you gave?
You know, a lot of times I think it can lean towards the hypocritical, where you know what you're supposed to do and you know how you're supposed to act, yet it's so hard to do that yourself. And so when you're talking to someone, they ask, oh, what should I do in this situation? It's very easy to tell them, hey, this is what you need to do. But you know, when you're the one going through that situation, it's not so easy to do whatever it is you are, quote unquote, supposed to do. So the answer to your question, I think it's yes and no. So sometimes I am hypocritical. I think other times I do live out what I preach in that sense, or what I teach, or what I give advice as.
I think I would say the same as if I were giving advice to another girl, which Kaguya does. You know that episode where she was giving advice to that one girl who was trying to break up the girlfriend of the guy that Shinomiya Miyuki helped?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think it was Kaguya herself, but Chika Fujiwara, the pink hair girl, she comes up and she asks them, like, think about that guy hanging out with another girl, or like dating another girl, and how would you feel? And then they become a little jealous. They say that they're a bit gloomy and all that. And they say, like, the worse you feel, the more love you have for that person. I think that was pretty deep. And then that other part where Kaguya says, focus on one good point and then you can start to see other good points over time. I would say, like, I do agree with you. Like, I was hypocritical previously as well, but I feel like over time, as like I'm maturing, I'm also carrying out those advices in my own life as well.
Yeah, I think that advice about the focusing on a good point and then you can start to see other good points over time, I think that's huge. And that really applies to a lot of people's lives, because for me, I know that when there is a bad point, it's so easy to be fixated on that one bad point. So they could have so many good points, and you can't even see those because of that one bad point. So probably for me in that sort of situation, I should kind of not think about that one bad point as that girl was doing. She's saying, I don't know what I feel about him. I don't think I really see him. We don't really talk that well, and I'm not sure what I feel towards him. I don't think it's love. Instead of focusing on something bad, to focus on something good and then find other good points about them, I think is really actually good advice.
I thought that one part was really cute when Kaguya was giving that advice, and she was like, for example, like charismatic eye, or like menacing eye, was it? And like all these like good points, and she started describing Shinomiya.
Yeah, she was describing the guy exactly.
Yeah, that part was so cute. It just shows how like naive, or like I don't know how to explain it, but how cute the girl's heart was. You know what I'm saying?
I just wanted to say that I think we've been saying the guy's name is Shinomiya, but I think the guy's name is Shirogane.
Oh my goodness.
It's okay. That's my mistake too. And so when we were all saying that, I think we were just all messing up.
I didn't know the name at all. I think I was just saying the guy.
You know, that's what the manga makes you do though. They keep like, the announcer calls them different names. Fujiwara calls them different names. Like, the characters themselves call each other different names. Like, I got confused.
Yeah, I think it's because their names both start with S. It's like Shirogane and Shinomiya. So they're so similar. And so we're just like, shoot, which one is which?
Okay, so guy is Shirogane and girl is Shinomiya.
Oh.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay, okay.
Can you say that one more time just for me?
The dude is Shirogane and then the girl is Shinomiya.
Okay, the girl is Shinomiya. The dude is Shirogane.
Okay, so Holly, I wanted to ask you a question. Since this is like one of the scenes in the anime where Shinomiya, she is watching like Fujiwara and Shirogane, right? They're feeding each other. Or no, Shirogane is feeding her his bento. Mm-hmm. And then she gets really mad at her, right? And then she goes, at the very end, when like the last thing happens, she goes, "Goodbye, chica. We're no longer friends." So I was wondering, like, in a girl's point of view, and I guess we'll go over like our point of view too, like if a girl gets treated nicely like that,
like especially a friend,
especially like a friend, like a good friend, do you like start like having like ill feelings toward them?
I think it's inevitable. There's some type of jealousy that does like stir up, but honestly, if I just knew that friend, you know, homegirl, if she told me her feelings and said like, "Hey, I also like this dude," then I can like respect like her, I guess, moves towards him, you know. But like, if she were to just be a friend and have no interest for him, and she was like doing those kind of stuff, or like she's eating his bento and everything, you know, like I think I would kind of feel the same way. Not the we're no longer friends, but I would have some jealous feelings and ill feelings towards her. Wouldn't you guys?
I think it's interesting because you're saying that if your friend had no feelings, had no feelings toward the guy, you would feel kind of jealous. But in my point of view, I would be like, oh, if my friend didn't have feelings for that person, I wouldn't feel jealous at all because like they don't even like them. But
yeah,
I could
agree
it.
With Peter.
Yeah, but I could. But you never know. That person might not have feelings for them, but then like at that moment, they're like, oh, this guy's actually like really nice, or like this girl's really nice. Oh, but that's like a simple heart of a guy, right?
Mm-hmm. I feel like. I think this all boils down to, do you think a guy and a girl can be just friends, right?
Oh, that's a deep question, huh?
Because personally, I'm pretty sure many people out there would disagree with me, but personally, I don't think you can just be just friends. Like, one side has to love the other more than they're receiving in order to like have that relationship, whether that one person's reaching out more or like asking to hang out or, you know, like those kinds of stuff. That I feel like one side needs to at least have more feelings for another person.
So you mean one person in that relationship is giving like more love to the other person? So it's like it's inevitable. Like, you think that's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. And over time too. Like, let's say you have no interest at all for another person, and like Fujiwara and Shirogane, if they were no friends, but they were like sharing bentos every day and like going to the beach and or like going to the mountain or whatever, like school trips, sitting next to each other and stuff. Like, over time, the more time you spend with that person, like sharing the same air together, like within the vicinity, you know, like I'm getting kind of figurative here, but you end up having feelings for that person, I think.
You know what, Holly? Actually, I do agree with you on that. I'm not sure if girls and guys can be just friends, especially if it's something like best friends, right? Sometimes people say, oh yeah, it might be a guy, they might say something like, I have this girl best friend, or the girl might be like, yeah, I have this guy, he's my best friend. Well, sorry, sister, like that's not going to be the case like 10 years down the road. No matter how good of a friend or best friend he might be, once you get married, it's not going to work like that. The relationship will change in the future.
But the interesting thing is I've talked to other people as well, and they did like say, even if I get married, like we're going to be best friends. So I haven't seen it myself yet, but there are people out there who do believe that you can be still like best friends, which is actually pretty cool. Like, I think that's very mature, like being able to not have that like little spark of jealousy, you know, like because I'm a pretty jealous person. So I guess I can't think that way because of that.
Yeah, I mean, from personal experience, I had a girl best friend. She got married. We're no longer best friends. I had another girl best friend in college. She's engaged. We're no longer best friends. And so I feel like with what I've experienced in my life, it's once they get married, it does change something. Like the dynamic does change. I don't know if I could confidently say, you know, I have this girl best friend and we're going to be best friends forever, especially once we get married. I think you can still be friends, maybe to a certain extent, but the best friend relationship, for me, I believe it's reserved for your spouse. Like they are your best friend. Your husband is your best friend. Your wife is your best friend.
And your spouse might think differently. Like they might think like us, where they might think that friends can't be, a girl and a guy just can't be friends. Yeah.
Yeah. And sure. I would never want to put that upon my wife, or maybe if you're to have a husband, you wouldn't want to put that on your husband to where that potential jealousy or that potential feeling of maybe hurt could even happen, right? It just sets up for problems in the future.
Yeah. I don't think that you can be a best friends with the opposite gender, but I definitely think you can be friends. I think there's a fine line. There are like people who really don't mesh well with each other, right? Like romantically, at least. They might mesh well together in their hobbies and the activities they do, or, you know, the friend group that you have, but then there's just like no romantic interest between two people. I have a friend like that. I have no romantic interest for her and we're like good friends. I still like keep up with her, and she has her boyfriend. And I'm single, and we still like catch up with each other every once in a while. But then we honestly don't have any romantic feelings for each other. And so I think that's possible. But I agree with you guys in saying like once you get married, that whole dynamic changes, right? Because that's what people say, like your spouse is supposed to be your best friend. The person you marry is your best friend for the rest of your life. And so I agree with that, but I'm not sure like your guys' specific viewpoints on just like just being friends, you know, with the opposite gender.
Yeah, there definitely is that line. But that line is very, how do we say it? Wavy. It's not a very clear distinction. Especially when feelings do potentially might start from one party or the other. That's just what I think, though. It's my opinion.
So you know how if we look back at Shirogane and Shinomiya's relationship, like they're in a high school-based setting. Are there some parts of the anime where you thought that, oh, I would have done this, or, you know, like I would have done it this way instead of that way? Were there any parts like that for you guys?
I think for me, if I knew what I know now and I was in high school in that situation, I would approach it completely different than when I was in high school. I really think when you're in high school and you haven't had much experience, or maybe even middle school, right? If you haven't had much experience in dating, there is this whole game that you kind of play of, oh, I wonder if they like me. Oh, maybe they do like me. So I'm going to do something to try to confirm that. If she says this or if he says this, then I'm going to respond in this way. And then this is going to happen. And I hope this happens. But I think now I'm just kind of like, no, just say that you like them. You know, just put it out there. And if they reject you, they reject you. But if they don't, then they don't, right? Now you can move on and progress in your relationship. I guess that's just me becoming older.
Yeah, I mean, when you're young, I just think, you know, your hormones are going crazy and you're like thinking about everything. You're like, oh man, like I really like this girl or I really like this guy and I don't want it to like mess up. I have this crush, right? But now that we're older, we kind of think about it a little more logically and a little more systematically, right? Like, okay, like I like this girl. I might ask her on a date. I want to like know her, get to know her better. But then when you're younger, you're just kind of like, oh, this girl's like, I just like this girl, right? And I just want to like have a girlfriend or I just want to have a boyfriend.
Oh, no, you can finish.
No, you can go ahead.
Are you sure? Okay. Well, one thing I used to do in middle school and high school was pretending to not like someone. Only because like I just wanted to get rid of that possibility of my feelings getting hurt. And so like, for example, like if I would go out and eat with someone, like a group of friends, and there was a person of interest, I would just like eat as I would. Like usually, you know how girls, if they're in front of someone they like, they might eat a little prettily, like take smaller bites or whatever, but I would just be like munching on my stuff.
I could totally see you do
that. And then if someone like goes like kind of hints at me like, oh, you don't care about us, I'll be like, yeah, I'm not trying to impress anyone here. But you know what I'm saying?
No, I think that's kind of similar to what I did. I think more so in college, where I would talk to someone, and I really like talking to one person a lot. And so I would talk to one person a lot over the course of, I don't know, months or however long it might be. But once I get to the point where I'm like, man, I might start liking this person, or I feel like feelings are starting to develop, I would immediately cut it off. What I realized in hindsight, looking back on it, the reason why I was doing that was because I didn't want to get hurt. So I think I'm very similar to you in that way, where I didn't want to get hurt. So I tried to portray myself in a different way, or I would end the relationship before it ever got to that part or that stage.
And a lot of people in high school, especially if you were friends with them since childhood or whatnot, like they don't want to risk losing that friendship too. Like if it does happen to work out wrong.
I feel like the way that you guys view it is like really pessimistic. I feel like most people, you think about it like, oh, it's not that like I don't want to get hurt because of if our relationship goes wrong or something like that. It's mostly like, oh, I don't want to do it because I'm too scared, right? And it's like, oh, what if they don't accept me? Or usually it's like more of that kind of fear, right? Versus, because that's, I feel that's more justifiable, because it's the same thing with like betting and gambling. It's like, oh, what if I don't win, but I'm just going to take the gamble, right? But you're just like, I'm just not going to do it because I'm going to get hurt. Like, oh, that's interesting to think about. It's like, that's very like high school emo, you know?
I could probably fit into that category. I played the guitar and I wanted to start a rock band and I try to write music and stuff. I think one of the big themes that kind of come up, at least starting from the beginning of this anime, is the theme of pride, right? He even says at the beginning, they're too prideful to confess their love to each other, so they're going to make the other person confess. And so what I want to spend a little bit of time on is just talking about that. Because for me, I really believe that pride is what causes troubles in the beginning. Pride is what causes troubles during a relationship, and pride is what can cause troubles even after the relationship is over. A lot of times, pride prevents you from actually genuinely loving another person, because at the center of pride is yourself, right? And when you only love yourself, it's very hard to love other people. Yes, of course, people say you have to first be able to love yourself before you can love other people. And yeah, that's true. But when you're too prideful, it hurts in many different aspects, and especially in relationships as well. What do you guys think about that?
I think being prideful, like the way that that Shinomiya and Shirogane do it, is a very childish way. And I think it's something that, I mean, we can see more when we're younger than we're older. I just feel like right now, I could never think of doing something like that, even if I'm selfish, right? And you kind of learn as you get older and you experience more in life that, you know, there are a lot of sacrifices that you have to give. There's like pride can't get in the way of everything, because that literally affects your relationships with the people around you, whether it be your coworkers, your friends, if you ever have a romantic relationship. And yeah, that pride is not good for the relationship, because you're just being like very selfish to yourself. And the way that we were like brought up, and most people, and like what we learn in school and in life, is that, you know, you need to like love other people, right? There has to be an acceptance of other people. But when you become too prideful like them, and you don't want to like give up that pride, because like in the beginning intro, it's saying like there's a loser, right? And you can't like think of it like that. Because say you get in the relationship, and if you both really do love each other a lot, there's no loser. The only time you lost is because you arbitrarily think you lost because of your pride for, you know, saying that you like them first. But then if you both like each other, you both win. If the other person doesn't like you, it's like a win-lose. So you don't really like lose at all. So it shouldn't like hurt your pride, because you tried and it didn't work out. But now you can move on, like you said before, David, and there's like someone else.
Yeah, I think pride really affects us in many different ways. It really affects how we view things, and it really affects how we do certain things. When we start watching out for ourselves, when we start thinking of the whole, man, what's the cost for me versus what's the output that I gain from the situation? If I do this for her, then what's going to benefit me? When I act in this way, then how is she going to react, and how is that good for me? I think when we start thinking in that way, it's really hurtful and harmful to the relationship, because it's not about you, right? A relationship is about two people. And yes, of course, how you feel and your happiness, those things matter. But the other person is watching out for you too. And the other person, if they're giving 100%, you should be giving your 100% too, right?
What you guys both said were definitely words of like wisdom. Now I'm 24, and just being in this stage of life where you're almost out of school and out into the real world, looking, trying to settle down and everything, I did personally also have to fight through a lot of that pride. And a lot of it had to come with the immaturity, or just how I like was raised as a daughter who's 10 years younger than my brother. I'm 10 years younger than my brother. And so I was raised as like this really precious girl. And because of like that upbringing, I also had, you know, like the pride in my life that kind of grew together with me. And I had to break down a lot of those things, like when I had to say sorry first, or having like those expectations for someone. It's really unfair to have an expectation on someone. In like, since we're talking about relationships, I've heard of a really wise thing from another mentor, and it was like, date the person you want to marry now. Don't date a project, because once you start dating a project, you're putting these expectations on this person, and those expectations stem from like from my pride. And so that's definitely one of the biggest lessons that I had to learn. And while watching this anime, Kaguya-sama, Love is War, it definitely resonated with me now that I think about it, if I look back. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you watch the most recent Mob Psycho episode, which is, I think, episode 6 now, it actually has a lot to do with pride and relationships, not necessarily in romantic relationships, but how, you know, the pride that you have can ruin the relationship that you have with somebody else and, you know, really show how broken that relationship is. So if anyone is watching Mob Psycho, I'm pretty sure you can relate to me in talking about this. And, you know, the show Kaguya-sama shows all that pride, but I think it's still really nice that they show those little bits of, you know, teenage love where it's like all those red, what is it, the red cheek stuff? You know, like
the blushing.
The blushing.
Oh my gosh, it's called blushing, man. I can't believe I forgot that word. But yeah. And you know, everyone has a like sacrificial side and a side where they're like, oh, I really like this person and it's not about me anymore. And you can see that even in the show, like Shirogane, when they were doing like the cat ears, it's just kind of like, oh, they were like blinded by each other and they just kind of forgot about everything about their pride. And they're like, oh man, I do really like this person, even though it's kind of like a gag with the cat ears. But you know, you can see that happen.
As the cat ears part came out, it said miraculous compatibility. Did you see that part?
I didn't catch that.
I don't remember that.
It, like how they were compatible for each other.
I think I think I kind of remember that. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I think we're seeing in the anime even that development of they're kind of letting go of their pride just a little bit and starting to show interest in different ways, right? I think we're starting to see that as the episodes progress. Hopefully we see more of that in the future episodes. And I'm excited to see where it goes. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We're so glad everyone could join us. Holly's on Instagram at AnimePopHeart. Peter's on Twitter at PeteringPeter. And you can follow me, David, on my Instagram at PressingTowardsTheGoal. While we are the podcast team for Beneath the Tangles, we also have many other platforms where you can reach us. Follow us at BeneathTheTangles.com, at AnimeTangles on Twitter, at AnimePopHeart on Instagram, and by searching for Beneath the Tangles on Facebook. Everyone, thanks for listening. Man, if we got pride, let's kind of start to slowly let that down and really try to love on all the people around us. Plus Ultra.